Let me open my book here. And Brother Jerry has some summary thoughts on the paragraphs there. And you remember when Brother Igor was leading the meeting at the end, he asked someone to read the paragraph. And I read it and I gave a brief summary of it, but he mentioned it's nice to refresh our thoughts and maybe read this paragraph again and express more thoughts. Because how many of us remember 1 week what happened 1 week ago? So I'm asking, we're going to be eventually having more mathematics lesson here, but it's all helpful in understanding the arrangement with the Sabbaths and the Jubilees with the nation of Israel and how it applies to today. So I'm looking for a volunteer to read this paragraph on page 182, but we must look. Brother David, nice to see you this morning and not driving your car. So it's good to have you with us. Please, if you would read that.
Yes. But we must look for beginnings only of this stupendous work of restoring all things. The first few days in the typical Jubilee year would see comparatively little accomplishment. And so we must expect in the first few years in the dawning of the great millennial Jubilee to see but little accomplishment. The first work in the typical Jubilee would naturally be a searching out of former rights and possessions and ascertaining of present lacks. Tracing the parallel of this, we should expect in the antitype just what we now see going on all about us, for, as will shortly be shown, we have already entered upon the great antitypical Jubilee period, and in it since October AD 1874. What do we see about us? We see investigation on the part of the people of their original God-given inheritance and their present lacks, rights, etc. Many in ignorance and selfishness claiming what others have, and attempt to hold on to as much as possible on the part of those who have possession, causing disputes, controversies, strikes, and lockouts with more or less justice and injustice on both sides, which must finally be left to Christ's adjudication, as disputes under the law were settled by Moses, and after his death by those who sat in Moses' seats, Matthew 23:2. With these fixed conclusions and expectations, let us seek the date which God evidently hid for us in this type, that we may know the things freely given unto us of God, now due to be understood.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother David. Would you like to express any thoughts on what this paragraph says to you? What do you get from this? What Brother Russell's bringing out here?
I think it's, for the first and second part, it's kind of comparing how it was telling us how it was in the past and, you know, kind of explaining the Jubilee year. But towards the end, it explains how today is going and how, you know, especially mid-paragraph here, we have disputes, controversies, strikes. And we see that a lot, especially with, you know, the U.S. and the wars and all that. So I feel like the main idea in this paragraph is that he will judge now all these things and he will set the parts on who owns what, and that's kind of what I got.
Very good. Yes. Our Lord will sit in, like Moses sat in the judgment seat, and our Lord is doing the judging now. Thank you. Thank you, Brother David. Anyone else like to add a comment? Just, Mr. Arlene.
Well, it's very true what Brother Russell says here. And when he wrote this, there were not a lot of different groups clamoring for their rights as there is now. Some of them, they are fancied rights, and they are not really God-given rights. But we do see a lot in the past century. We see the civil rights movement, where even though blacks had been freed from slavery, there were the Jim Crow laws and things like that that really prevented them from their rights in the South. But we see that coming along, and we see women's rights. They were given the right to vote in the 1920, I think. And so, like I said, some of these groups who are clamoring for the rights have gone too far in the other direction. But at least it's been happening. Brother Russell, when he wrote this, there weren't a lot of things happening. And he says that just like, the Jubilee Day, the first few days of the Jubilee year, there wasn't much happening, but eventually all these different groups who are clamoring for their rights, whether they're real or fancied, everything will, through Christ's kingdom, everything will be made right.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments, Sister Arlene. Yes, like we talked about last week, times of restitution, it's a lengthy time. It doesn't happen immediately. All the, everything being restored takes the entire 1,000 years, and we're seeing the beginnings. Brother Igor.
One, two, three, four. I hope you can hear me, Brother Bill. It's from New Machine.
Your phone, your voice is fine. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to echo what Brother David said earlier. And I'm looking on chapter 23 in Matthew, and I would like to read some verses here. I will start with probably with one, because that's the story, how Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and they have, you know, power. Verse 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe and do, but do not eat after their works, for they say and do not. 4, for they blind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, probably the clothes, right? And enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, to be called of a man, like a rabbi. Rabbi, we call here rabbi. Verse 8, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. Okay, and the last one, Brother Bill. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. So I really like these verses. I still remember how my dad teach us, me and my brother, that, you know, the priests and other ones who are in charge or staying in the synagogues, and they have these long preaches, and later on they go through the multitude, and everyone is kind of bounding to them and give praise. We can see still this is happening, and we're supposed to say only Father, which is only our Heavenly Father, not to them or something, or someone else. Over.
Thank you. Thank you for those scriptures, Brother Igor and Matthew. Yeah, the example our Lord gave there shows how important it is to be humble before Him and not be proud. Brother Bill or Sister Donna? Go ahead.
I appreciate what Brother Igor read, because we know the Lord will exercise righteous judgment in the kingdom. I have a couple of scriptures about the condition of mankind now in Isaiah 59, verse 8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, whatsoever goeth there and shall not know peace. And another one, that was Isaiah 59:8. Another one is Ecclesiastes 5:10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Ecclesiastes 5:10.
Thank you. Thank you for those scriptures, Sister Donna. And thank you for repeating them. I think that's very helpful so that we can make note of them. Brother Jerry?
Yes, Brother Bill. I just, you know, there's so many texts that apply to the characteristics of our times. Men crying, peace, peace, when there's no peace, and such things. But I just wanted to make a comment generally that in the context of not just what we see around us, but these kind of events really did begin with the world calls it the Industrial Revolution, human rights movements, but particularly 1870s and 1874 and thereafter, all kinds of personal and national and international claims and rights, and a lot of institutions were set up to try to regulate these, and even international things like the United Nations and so forth attempted to sort things out, and it's been a very difficult task to do. So what Brother Russell's saying here is connected with the Jubilee year, the difficulty to sort out true rights and false claims. And that's why the great noise in both the ecclesiastical and secular arenas. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Yeah, we saw the beginnings of people asking for real and fancied rights, and we see that just escalating since the 1870s. Brother Brad.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Yeah, I was just thinking about the statement where we first started reading, comparatively little is accomplished at the beginning. Of course, with a lot of good reasons, there was an expectation that things would wrap up sooner than history has proven. But I find it interesting that, you know, as was saying, that history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And I think that's a good thing. It makes sense. And what we've seen is a lot of rhyming. I watched a documentary that it wasn't that long, maybe 30 minutes, but it was really quite good. It was on the crash, the 1929 crash of the stock market, and what the fallout of that was and what led up to it. There was a lot of prosperity coming out of for the United States, coming out of World War One, and it was really boom times. And people started investing in the stock market, which they had never done before. And then they started leveraging. And people were making fabulous amounts of money. And they were really extending themselves out, though. And it was, you know, very widespread. And then you had the crash. And people lost everything. It's a good documentary to watch because it shows the despair that really set in. It went on for 10 years. It really went on all the way up till World War II began. People couldn't find jobs. They were living in the streets. They were living in cardboard boxes. It was really bad times. And so that led them to want change. And I don't want to go into too much detail, but the government under the Republicans after the crash didn't want to do anything to help. They just said, you know, business should take care of itself and government has no place in doing that. So they didn't really do anything until Roosevelt. And Roosevelt came along and he was the next Democrat that was elected and he started doing all kinds of programs and, you know, doing things. But the point is that people were dissatisfied. They were looking for change and they were turning to things like socialism, communism, fascism, Nazism. That's what really got going because people thought capitalism had failed them. Well, the reason I just bring that up is I think we're about entering into another rhyme. And what we're going to see, in my opinion, is we're going to see the AI development is going to have a big impact on society. It's going to have a big impact on unemployment or unemployment. And I think it may lead to the same kind of thing where people are saying, I need a new system. We need more socialism. We need more, you know, whatever ism they're choosing. They're going to lose because they've lost their job. They've lost their opportunities. And I think that's really a very big wave that's just about to crash onto society right now. And the impacts could be really pretty substantial. So it all leads to the same thing, though. People being dissatisfied, they want changes, and the changes sometimes that they want don't bring about good. They actually bring about trouble, but ultimately the Lord has that all under in his mind and consideration of things too. And as part of that struggling for the rights, they're going to see people that are already fabulously wealthy get even more wealthy while they don't have a job. So sorry for taking so much time to explain my point. Over.
Thank you, Brother Brad. That's interesting. That, yeah, just thinking about what happened with World War One, and then the stock market crash, depression lasted 10 years, and then the World War Two right after that, and trying to seeing prosperity, and then others saying, "Well, I should have just as much as he has," you know, and and that's what's brought out in this paragraph, as you said. I think, now, did I understand you? You said history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's a saying that goes around.
I've never heard that. That's interesting. Sister Arlene.
I'm wondering if Brother Brad could put the name and any details about this documentary, and maybe those of us who are interested could find it on YouTube or someplace. I wonder if you could do that, Brother Brad.
Can you put something in the chat, Brother Brandon?
About this documentary you saw. Okay.
Actually, you can put a link to it in the chat.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah. All right. Okay, any other thoughts on this paragraph? Sister Robin.
I just want to add one comment. A lot of people are clamoring to know the truth. You know, and that's not real easy to see. That's when Jesus came in his, the first Advent, he was showing that what was being taught by the Pharisees and the scribes were not the truth. He was trying to show what the truth was. And that's why there's the scripture we read about greater than Moses. One greater than Moses will come, and that's Jesus. And then oftentimes I heard the comment in the news that people were clamoring for health rights. And I'm saying, how can you have health rights? We're all sick or whatever. But one of the things that Jesus did with his miracles was healing and healing and healing. And people are clamoring for health rights. And I think this is because they realized this is what was lost without knowing the truth. And that was one thing. And the mental health rights. What was the one other one? Oh, food. People have the right to eat. So some very, very basic truths that was lost, because in the Garden of Eden, all the food was there. And they were kicked out of the garden for disobedience. So when I think about what was lost, we think about the life was lost, but with that life, where they were living and how the earth no longer was responding to them, that was all lost, and everyone's clamoring for that. Over.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good comment, Sister Robin. And you were talking about food. Remember how much upheaval there was when people had the SNAP benefits taken away. And a lot of people, didn't have any access to food, and they, a lot of their neighbors helped them until they could reenact that SNAP arrangement program. Brother Bill or Sister Donna?
Sister Donna has a comment, and then I might follow on with a comment.
You want to go first?
No.
I was thinking, I appreciate all the comments about the current events and what's going on. But I'm also thinking of a scripture. I think it was Brother Jerry that brought this out. I'm just going to read the first part of it. Years ago, Zechariah 4:10, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" We see the beginnings of the kingdom. We see glimmers of restitution. We also see these clamorings. But the day of small things, it will come. God has promised. Thank you.
And if I can sneak in a comment, a lot of the clamoring and for rights is associated with an increase of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I think of the illustration in Revelations where the dragon, I think it's Revelations 12:15. And it speaks of the dragon cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. But that flood was followed up, swallowed up. It did not carry her away, and the earth absorbed it. And we associate this verse with the French Revolution, which was a very notable clamoring for rights, and it really turned the French system upside down. So
The increase of knowledge is something that we're all aware of. Brother Brad just mentioned AI, and it's behind this clamoring for rights to a big extent. Back to you.
Thank you, Brother Bill. And what was the scripture in Revelation again?
12:15.
Revelation 12:15.
Yeah. Revelation 12:15. I'm sure you'll put that in the chat. And thank you for those, that scripture in Zechariah 4:10, Sister Donna. Any other thoughts? Well, I'm not seeing any more hand up. Brother David, is that a hand? Oh, okay. Very good. Let's see here. Maybe Brother Jim Chucker, would you read that paragraph for us on page, you know, the second paragraph on page 182 that goes over to page 183?
I can do that.
Thank you.
Starting, we have no direct. Is that correct?
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. We have no direct Bible record of Israel's observance of their typical jubilees, which would show which was the last one observed. We fix upon the date for the jubilee immediately preceding the Babylonian captivity and 70 years desolation of their land as the last one, for two reasons. First, it would have been this side of that desolation, because there surely, surely, sorry, the type ceased, passed away. for the land being desolate, 70 years, and the people in captivity in a foreign land. A jubilee must have been due somewhere in the midst of those 70 years and must have gone unobserved. A glance is sufficient to show that the commands and provisions related to the jubilee year could not be compiled with while they as a nation were in captivity and the land was desolate. Hence we say the type either passed away then or before that interruption. It could not be this side of it, and whenever the observance of the type ceased, the cycle of the great antitype must have begun to count. One such failure to observe the type would indicate that the type had ceased and that the cycle leading to the antitype had begun. Besides, never since the Babylonian captivity has Israel had full control of the land. They and their land have ever since been subject to Gentile dominion. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jim, for persevering with your voice there.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Any thoughts that you want to share with us as to what you gleaned from that paragraph?
Well, I think he's basically correct that, you know, finding the time of that last one is very difficult. And I think the evidence of the beginning of the fulfillment is the return of the Jewish people to their land. So it seems like basically has it correct. Over.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And as it states in the first sentence you read, that we have no direct Bible record of their observance of their typical jubilees, but which shows which what the last one to be observed. But then all the all the information, all the evidence and showing of their Babylonian captivity and so forth, that it helps explain when we should start counting the last days. Any other thoughts? Anyone? Well, this Brother Russell brings up the, well, okay, Brother Igor.
Well, Brother Bill, what I understand from what we're reading here is that when they failed to celebrate this next jubilee, they wasn't able to do it because they were slaves. And that's the reason why directly they didn't have possibility to celebrate and maintain this, how to say, I don't know if rituals is a correct word, but the cycles, right?
So, yeah, right.
The cycles. So as we're seeing here, when they wasn't desolation, it was very hard for parents and so forth. And it looks like next paragraph is explaining nicely where, how exactly goes and how the cycle of the 50 years from the beginning when they came in the promised land, which was Canaan, through the 1874, it was actually 50 jubilees or 2,500 years. That's how we came to, or how to arrive to 1874. So this being said, we understand that they kind of stopped at the 19 one. They celebrated 19 cycles of 50 years. And since that moment over, they literally didn't.
They didn't celebrate it, right?
No.
But they could have. They probably didn't celebrate it properly, but...
We're hearing Brother Bill, Sister Donna, Brother Bill, your microphone is close.
My apologies.
No problem. Thank you, Brother Igor. And as you said, you know, there'll be more discussed in the next paragraph, because this is the first explanation for how to understand when the last observance, when the last jubilee was observed. Brother Jerry has thought, and then Brother Jim.
Brother Bill, I kind of took a side trip here to try to locate a chart that may be helpful to say what Brother Russell is speaking about here, which is quite an interesting crossroads in considering this subject. So I'm going to try to share something here, so just hold on. We've got too many screens going, but just one moment, and I will try to share this. Share a screen. I think it's this one here. So if you can see this screen.
Yes, it shows, yes.
Mm-hmm. When they entered the land, they began to keep the jubilees at the top here. I don't know if you can see the cursor moving or not.
When they entered Canaan, right?
Yes. Yeah. And every 50 years, they had a jubilee. And so these years across the top are what would have been or could have been a jubilee. And then it goes down to what was happening in that year. It's interesting, if we follow the chronology that was given for the period of the judges, and sometimes they were in captivity for short, less than 50 years. But the Jubilee never fell in one of these little red mark areas. Sometimes it came close. But they were always back in the land. In other words, they were not blocked from the opportunity to keep a Jubilee for all the years of the judges and the kings until they could have kept one in 625. The last line. After that, the Lord blocked them from keeping a Jubilee by taking them out of the land for 70 years. So no matter when that next Jubilee would have fallen, it would have fallen within 70 years, the 50th year. So I think what he's saying is that the Jubilee could have been kept in its type or its symbolical sense for all those Jubilees until the Lord stopped it. And what Brother Russell's introducing here is when the Lord stops it, it's because he's saying the type, he does not allow them to keep the type anymore because he's starting a larger and bigger picture, which we will see in following paragraphs. So I'm going to stop this here, but it's a notable thing that Jubilees happen during the kings and judges, but never during a captivity until the 70 years in Babylon over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jerry. And thank you for that chart and that explanation. I think it brings out some of the other and some of the next paragraphs about the Lord always let the people go back to their land, even they were never in captivity more than 40 years, I think it was. So they always were able to return back to their to celebrate the Jubilee and until the time of the 70 years of desolation, as you brought up. Brother Jim.
Yeah, in Jeremiah, the 34th chapter, we actually have the closest thing that relates to this keeping the Jubilee. So in starting in verse 8, it says, and after...
Jeremiah 34?
Jeremiah 34, starting verse 8, yeah.
Okay.
It says, and after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people in Jerusalem to proclaim liberty, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord that each man should free his Hebrew slaves, both male and female, and no one should hold his fellow Jew in bondage. So all the officials and all the people who entered into this agreement agreed that they would free their men servants and maid servants and no longer hold them in bondage. They obeyed and released them. But later, they changed their minds and took back the men servants and maid servants they had freed, and they forced them to become slaves again. So... Going down to verse 16, it says, but now you have changed your minds or profaned my name. Each of you has taken back the maid servants or the men servants and maid servants whom you had set at liberty to go wherever they wanted. And you have again forced them to be your slaves. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You have not robbed me. You have not proclaimed freedom. Each man for his brother and for his neighbor. So now I proclaim freedom for you, declares the Lord, freedom to fall by the sword, by plague, and by famine, and I will make your horn, and so on. But that's beginning the antitype, because they didn't cover it. He's keeping it for them, basically. But he's taking them out of the land to rectify the fact that they didn't keep it. Over.
What translation was that, please?
That was the Berean Study Bible translation.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for those scriptures. Sister Ellie.
I just like to say something, sort of as like an overview, and quote two scriptures. The Lord decreed for Israel that they had to have, they had to keep 70 Jubilee cycles. That was, and whatever it meant to them, they didn't understand the antitype. This was the type, and making an antitype, a type and an antitype for us. And we know that, as we said, that they didn't keep them perfectly in the 19, but they had to keep 70 regardless of how they were kept, whether they actively participated or whether they didn't actively participate. I'd like to quote 2 Chronicles 36:2. I think we've had this before. I think I have that wrong. 36:21, excuse me.
Yeah.
To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbaths to fulfill 70 years. So even if she wasn't actively keeping them, Israel, they were still counting. And also in Jeremiah 25:11, in this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So that's just whatever happened, they had to keep. God decreed 70 jubilees.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Ellie. Those scriptures were read from the King James, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, let's read the next paragraph where Brother Russell brings out that we looked at the first way to determine when Israel observed the last Jubilee. Now we're going to look at the second. Let's see here. Sister Margaret, we haven't heard from you for a while. Would you read that paragraph for us?
I think I'd sooner pass. Thank you. I'm enjoying listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I understand. Yeah, your voice isn't normal. What about Sister Amanda?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
It starts with secondly on page 183.
Secondly, in every captivity previous to that one, God evidently delivered them from their enemies in time to get back into their own land to celebrate the Jubilee year, and thus to perpetuate it as a type until the right time for the great 50 times 50 cycle to begin counting. For their previous captivities, though frequent, it seems never lasted longer than 40 years, thus permitting them, according to the Jubilee arrangement, to go free and to receive back every man his inheritance every Jubilee year. Besides, when we shall shortly show that, reckoned from the beginning of the 70 years desolation under Babylon, the great cycle ends with the year AD 1875. It will be manifest to all that it could not have commenced at an earlier date, prior to that Babylonian captivity. For if we place it even one jubilee earlier, it would locate the termination of the cycle 50 years earlier than AD 1875, namely AD 1825. And surely no jubilee age of restitution began with that year. It's just so beautiful and amazing how clear it all is. And I really appreciated Brother Jerry sharing that chart. It's just so beautiful the way that it's all designed and it's all playing out. And I was thinking earlier with knowledge being so abundant now, and people may search in despair, but God's word has always been there, and it's just as much as they want to try. I appreciated the Igor reading Matthew. Jesus said, let no man call another or call father on earth. And it's like, when I read that, I was 35 years old. And it was like, wow, do the Catholics know this? Why are we calling the priest father? Jesus said not to do that. So it's just very, for the right-hearted, you don't even have to try very hard. Jehovah makes it very easy. And it's just so beautiful that the deeper you want to go, the more you're rewarded. I just really appreciate it. And I can't wait to be back up there with you all. So thank you. Over.
Thank you, Sister Amanda. And we look forward to seeing you amongst us again. And thank you for reading that. And like you said, you know, we have a thirst to want more and more understanding of how these things work out and how the illustration of the jubilees being celebrated by the Jews, and how it applies to the times that we're in. Any other thoughts anybody wants to bring out from, you know, I think the thing we see here is our Heavenly Father always permitted the nation to get back to celebrate their jubilees. They were never in captivity for longer than 40 years. Anything else anybody wants to bring up? I think we're getting close to the end of our time here. Brother Jerry, please.
Yeah, and just interesting how Brother Russell sort of introduces layer by layer, and, you know, maybe our minds jump around and we say, how do you get this? He has introduced a couple of points on the previous page that about 1874 October and the Jewish year ending in 1875 here, but he has not yet given how to count it. He's given us some thoughts to hang our thoughts on, that they kept jubilees every 50 years. We had Sister Ellie's comment about 70 jubilee cycles. We had the thoughts of 2,500 years of being 50 times 50, but he hasn't laid it out yet. So it's not intended that he's just kind of saying, look to the year 1874 to 1875, and then the next few pages, it will show how that is arrived at. So, you know, maybe the first time reader in these would say, well, how did he get that? Well, he hasn't really introduced it yet, but it is coming shortly. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Yeah, I think next week we'll be getting into more and more math and understanding how it's calculated. How we arrive at the year 1874 and 1875. Look forward to that. So thank you, Brother Jerry. That was a very good summary for what we've covered so far and how Brother Russell's leading us up to more calculations. Okay, so we'll have, okay, I see a hand from Brother Igor.
We're calculating here with Luchika, and we're saying here that we're on the Great Jubilee right now, already 152 years.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what our calculation is. So far, we're on the Great Jubilee 152 years. As Sister Sharon likes to say, it's a process.
That's right, yeah.
Long process.
That's right. And one of the things that's brought out in this book about chronology from New Albany, Louisville, is that the Great Jubilee will begin year 2775. I mean, no, 2875. When all is restored and handed back to the Father, to our Heavenly Father. And then we have that scripture that talks about, and then God will be all in all. Okay, hymn 179 was Sister Sharon Wesley's choice. And Sister Marilyn Bach will close us with prayer after that. And we'll have some messages after the prayer.